Blog Talk Radio.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you for waking up on this Saturday morning. Thank God, no more snow in Philadelphia. Oh, we were just inundated with snow for the last 2 weeks. This morning it's bright and sunny outside. I have two wonderful guests with me this morning. First, I want to introduce Stephanie Covington Armstrong. She's the author of Not All Black Girls Know How to Eat, A Story of Bulimia. She's been written for Essence, Sassy, Mademoiselle, and Venice Magazine. She's authored the screenplay for Contradictions of the Heart, starring Vanessa Williams, and she has some other plays that she's written. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us this morning.
Welcome. I'm happy to be here.
I also have Lori Vanderboom. She's the program director for the National Eating Disorders Association, and she's been a great help in coordinating this, actually, I guess, broadcast. Thank you, Lori, for coming on this morning.
Oh, you're so welcome. Glad to be here.
I also want to give a shout-out to Nick at the National Eating Disorders Association who connected me to you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read a little bit from Stephanie's book this morning. I lost control, no longer able to choose when, where, or even if I would binge and purge. I was quickly caught up in the grasp of this bulimic hell, doing it day and night, and nothing could free me of its hold on my life. I tried to talk myself into starving by making deals. If you don't eat all day long, you can have a big binge at night. All of my emotions, fears, and insecurities would well up to the surface, and before I could stop myself, I'd be off and running to the nearest grocery store, donut shop, or mini mart, stumbling out of the car with my purchases, my mouth stuffed with muffins, cupcakes, or some other sugary doughy treat. I rush into the apartment to get my binge on. One thing she also mentions in the book is that bulimia provides a warm, calming feeling that's soothing, while throwing up involuntarily felt violent and painful. If you're listening out there and you're struggling with some of these issues, I want to let you know that there are people out there who know what you're going through, and they're here to help you. The National Eating Disorder has a helpline, 1-800-931-2237. Again, that's 1-800-931-2237. I thought this was a really interesting topic. This month is African American History Month. There's a National Eating Disorders Week coming up. And the combination to me I thought was very powerful, because in the African American community, we have a slightly different view of what your body should look like in general. You could be slightly larger and you're accepted. If you're thin, sometimes in the African American community, you're actually look like, what's wrong with you? But there are people who are suffering with food addiction, anorexia, bulimia, and they don't get help because they don't know that they can get help. They don't, you know, realize that other people who are suffering, other people that may look like them in general, meaning most of the time when you think about eating disorders, you think about Caucasian women. You're not thinking about a black woman in your mind, but there are black women, and Stephanie, I'm so happy that she wrote the book and is sharing her story. I want to start out with just some information from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and it says that the average American woman is 5'4" tall and weighs 140 pounds. The average model is 5'11" and weighs 117 pounds. So I think we can understand why women in general are having some problem about why, you know, I don't look like the woman in the magazine, because just that's just almost near impossible. But I want to start off with Lori, and let's talk a little bit about some of the services that the National Eating Disorders Association offers.
You bet. I'll tell you, the number one service that we offer is our helpline, and it's a 24/7 helpline. It's staffed 40 hours a week Pacific Standard Time, and the number is 800-931-2237. Help is available. You can talk to a live person. You can type in a question. Your question will get answered. If you don't get a live person, that's really our number one help for everyone. Our website is a terrific help. Anytime you can go to the website and pull down any kind of information you need with any questions, it will be answered just by our handouts. Our website is full of information. We have a terrific parent toolkit, 78 pages really of information and answers for anything that you can think of to ask about eating disorders.
Why don't we tell them your website address is nationaleatingdisorders.org. Again, that's nationaleatingdisorders.org. And again, I want to mention that coming up is National Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and there are a lot of events going on around the country. You can go to their website and log in and learn about what activities are in your area. What do you see when you have these programs? Who's coming to the programs? Do you see a lot of African-American women coming to the programs that you hold?
You know, we're just beginning to, and we're just beginning to reach out. I think that you know, there's so much shame involved in an eating disorder that people hesitate to step up. I mean, Stephanie, wouldn't you agree to that?
Absolutely.
No matter what you know, racial makeup we're talking about.
Absolutely, but also coming from a culture that doesn't support therapy, that doesn't
exactly.
support getting outside help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and risking falling outside of the strong black woman archetype that we're you know, raised believing in, and
yeah.
feeling we have to become. So you know, it's hard to disassociate yourself with that image in order to get the help you need.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just start explaining some of the different types of eating disorders that are out there? A lot of people know about anorexia, and that's in terms of starving yourself. According to the National Eating Disorders, you have a diagnosis. Criteria for diagnosis would be refusal to eat, and that's according to the American Psychology Association. And one must have a fear of weight gain to meet the criteria for diagnosis. Well, I mean, a lot of women have a fear of weight gain. I think it's become the problem, and it's interfering with your life. And Stephanie's book, again, her book is called Not All Black Girls Know How to Eat. Her secrecy, I think, was a really big word that kept popping up in my mind when I was reading your book, all the things that you would do to hide what you were going through. Can you talk to us about that?
Oh, I did everything I could to hide it. I lied, I stole, I cheated. I made sure that my friends didn't know each other. I changed jobs, I changed men, I changed cities. I was constantly uprooting myself because there was always the threat of being found out, of anyone getting close enough to me to see who I really was.
I think that's one of the things, too, that you mentioned is who you are and that you were hiding behind this mask kind of on the outside of the world. In the book, you talk about, you know, putting this mask on and your experience in acting. You kind of took it to the next level with using it in your life to hide some of your pain. And one of the other things you talk about is the binge eating, which kind of complemented the bulimia and the eating, you know, two or three meals in one night. You know, how did you feel? You were talking about being in a trance.
I just felt drugged. I mean, I've never taken like crack cocaine, but I actually imagine that's how I felt, because it was just an automated behavior. I couldn't stop. I was in a trance, and I couldn't function until I binged and purged, and then there'd be this incredible calm, and then I would suddenly start to feel my feelings again, and then I'd have anxiety, and then I'd have to binge again, and it was
to suppress them again.
Cycle that just didn't quit. I mean, one of the things that I always talk about, when especially in the black community, is that we don't have an awareness of what exactly bulimia is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you go to someone's house and they're drinking that dieter's tea, and that's bulimia.
Right.
You know, laxative abuse is bulimia. Diuretic abuse is bulimia. Compulsive exercising is bulimia. It's like we think it's just throwing up, but it's not just throwing up.
Yeah, there's so many versions of it. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's be really clear that, you know, the causes of eating disorders are really complex.
Yes.
And understanding that this is, we're talking about a mental disorder, and that are you know, the cultural, the biological, the socioeconomic, the environmental, you know, they all play in, and low self-esteem and a desire to feel in control. These are, you know, the underlying factors of eating disorders and how they manifest themselves, you know, bulimia, binge eating disorder, anorexia, nervosa. You know, those things, we need to understand what they are. Stephanie is, you know, really spot on when she says people don't know many times when they have an eating disorder.
Well, I think a key word you talked about too right there, Lori, was control. And in Stephanie's book, when she was a young child, you go through this story of you and your mother fighting over food, and she wanting you to try to eat because, you know, she was working hard and trying to provide for you and your sisters, but you couldn't stand her food. And so you would fight with her about this food and not eat and then go to bed, you know, not eating. And but it was sad, but at the same time, you said you would, you were happy because you had some control there. Talk to us about that issue of control throughout your life. You felt powerful by controlling what you were eating?
Well, you have to understand, I had a very strong mother, and she controlled everything. And I hated her cooking, and it was the only way, it was the only time I ever kind of fought back. I ever said, no, like, if I'm going to get a beating, I'm going to get a beating, but I'm not going to eat this food.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like this war, and I always won. And then as I got older, she just left me alone. So it was like, okay, you're going to decide if you're going to eat or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't really grow up having a lot of issues around food. I just was hungry a lot because we were poor.
Well, one thing you talk about, too, is that you were hungry not just for food, but you realized later you were hungry for your mom, you were hungry for your dad, and the types of relationships that you had. Lori, do you see this in women that come to the National Eating Disorder or call the hotline, that they're hungry? It's not really for food, that it's for some other things that are missing in their lives?
Well, you know, that's very possible, yes. And you know, identifying what all those hungers are, you know, we could have a whole conversation about just that. But, yes, that's exactly right. You know, that's part of that psychological disorder.
Well, I just want to let people know, again, the hotline number to call if you're listening to today's show or you have a friend you think that might need some help, definitely give them a 1-800-931-2237, and they can go to the nationaleatingdisorders.org. Also, there's a National Association for Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders. That's ANAD.org. I want to mention them. And there's so many other organizations. Both of these groups have tons of resources, as Lori mentioned, toolkits for parents, toolkits for educators. I think also one thing, I was talking with a professor of mine, actually on Thursday night, we were walking out, and he mentioned to me that psychologists, from the psychologist side, they don't diagnose African-American women properly with eating disorders, because they're not used to seeing an African-American woman coming to their office with this issue. Stephanie, do you feel that that's the case, or any friends or people that you've spoken to that were misdiagnosed?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I am constantly talking to women, some who are now therapists, some who are young, who are misdiagnosed, or who, it's kind of like, I've had doctors say, oh, you don't have an eating disorder. African-Americans don't have eating disorders. I had a young woman call me yesterday from the American, she goes to Atlanta College, and she is at the American Institute, I think at the American University in D.C. right now, working on an exchange, and she's doing a paper in journalism and decided to do a paper on blacks and eating disorders because her aunt was bulimic and died from it. So she called me up, and she said her teacher said, well, you know, the problem is, There aren't really that many black women with eating disorders, so that's going to be a hard paper to do. And it's this overall belief. This was this week. So it's this overall belief that there's that we don't exist. And I always point people to this New York Times piece that was done a few years ago that says blacks join the eating disorder mainstream. There was a Washington Post article, a USA Today article, Essence did a piece in 94, there's a new study that it's very controversial. USC study that everyone's talking about that says poor black girls are 50% more likely than white girls to get eating disorders, to develop bulimia. I mean, it's the research is slow, is seeping in. It's not pouring in, but it's seeping in. But it's not still not getting the attention.
Well, I think the issue goes to shame. I mean, in African, if we're talking about African Americans, we feel maybe today, you know, Barack Obama is president. We can go to school. We can get certain jobs that we weren't able to before. We can live in certain places. Our kids, you know, can go to better schools and all these things. We want to, again, try to put on a face, if I should say, a lot of times that, look, we don't have any problems. Nothing's going on here. I mean, I did a story, a podcast about sexual abuse, African-American and sexual abuse, and the issue of going back to shame and secrecy and that, you know, we don't have a problem. This is not going on in our community. I did a program about, you know, assault and women and how in the African-American community, when black women were standing next side by side with African-American men, they're being assaulted by the same men who are standing on the corner saying, we need our freedom. You know, so when it comes to eating disorders, that's just another thing on the list. Like, oh, wait, look, we're already looked down upon in certain areas. We don't want to have another problem. Let's not talk about this issue. But I want to say I'm talking about the issue. I think it's an important issue. And I think that people need to know that it's not your fault. It's not your fault, you know, that, but you can go get help. And again, I want to mention Stephanie's book is a wonderful read, Not All Black Girls Know How to Eat. And she's very open. I mean, so her honesty is, I want to commend you for the honesty. I don't know how difficult it was when you were writing that, but she shares some very personal things that had happened to her growing up, her family. Do you feel that your family ostracized you when they found that the book was coming out, or did they embrace you? What happened when
no,
they found out the book was
so,
coming
like,
out?
Okay, I definitely have relatives who say to me, oh, she doesn't have an eating disorder. She just told this story to talk
make
about
money.
Family issues.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay, I just made up the bulimia, okay. And my mother has been amazing because my family has called my mother and her sisters and said, you know, we're so sorry she wrote this book. And my mother said, don't apologize for my child. She has a right to tell her story.
Mm-hmm,
And because her love for me doesn't demand my silence, it's brought us even closer together. And
That's wonderful.
She's so proud of me. She goes, you have a right to tell your story.
Now, Laura, you guys have a conference coming up in October for the National Eating Disorders. Talk about that a little bit and how people maybe want to get involved and having a booth there. What should they do to get involved with that conference? It's in New York City, October 8th through October 10th.
Right. Yeah, if they're a vendor and they want to get involved by having a booth, you know, having to do with eating disorders, treatment centers, that kind of thing, treatment providers, they need to contact Dee Kristoff, who is our vice president at the National Eating Disorders Association, and her email is dkristoff, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-F-F, @ myneda, myneda.org. And Dee will have all the information that she needs.
That's wonderful. Just mention her email address again one more time.
You know, actually the best thing to do is to go to our website.
Go to the website? Mm-hmm.
Sure. And the information on the conference page will lead you to Dee, and she'll get in touch with them.
One of the things I think is great that you're doing is the Media Watchdog. The program, it states, was created to improve media messages about size, weight, and beauty. And we know, I mean, if I go to the store right now, Essence, Ebony, Jet,
right.
In terms of African-American women, our figures are maybe slightly larger. And Essence is doing a lot of great things with women size, like, say, 14 to 18. And they have a whole little layout display about different types of clothes you can wear and things of that nature. I guess I also am concerned, though, that the acceptance of women being larger, where it's still ignoring their health, because for me, health is the most important thing. Are you how's your blood pressure? How's your cholesterol? Are you getting your OBGYN checkups? That is the key for me, if you're healthy. Stephanie, I mean, what do you feel you hearing from black women? Like, well, you know, I'm a size 14, and, you know, I'm never going to be a size 6, but I'm healthy. Do you think they need to try to go down more, or do you think they should be happy with the way they are? What is your feeling about that?
Here's my feeling. This is something I've actually learned since being involved in the eating disorder community, that you can be healthy at every size. But a lot, you know, if you're eating right and working out, whether just going for walks or something, it's like you're gonna be healthy. And I feel like there's a lot of eating without a lot of movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just important to do both. And it's important to go to your doctor and to get checkups. And, I mean, there are certain things you find out. We have a lot of diabetes in our community and heart problems, which can be, not every type, but which can be alleviated by losing some weight for many women.
Well, we have a large problem in the African-American community with obesity.
Yes.
So, you know, the problem becomes then, I think it's the extremes that cause the problem, and I'm sure Lori,
right.
You know, it's extreme of, you know, being overweight and unhealthy and this issue that's affecting diabetes and high blood pressure and cholesterol, and then you're going to have to take all these types of medicines, and which then cause other problems. And so then you say, well, okay, then I'm going to starve myself, or I'm going to binge because I'm, you know, I'm stuffing down all these feelings. It's the extremes in life that we have to watch out for, because some people say, well, she's just big boned, you know, or she's just naturally thin. You know, I have many friends who are in the model industry and acting industry, and the pressure to be thin is relenting. I remember one of my friends, she's 5'10". She's a light-skinned black woman, and they were telling her size. I think she had a 25-inch waist or something, and they were like, your waist is too big.
Oh, right. It needs to be, you know.
It needs to be smaller. I mean, the only way to make her waist smaller was to take a rib out. But young black girls are looking at these images now. I mean, we have this global community now with, you know, Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and MySpace, and you're seeing all different types of images from around the world. Yet and still, these images are for thin women. And so what is a black woman to do who's a size 14, and yet she's telling herself she's healthy, and her doctor's saying she's healthy, but she's still not matching it with what the media is saying? Lori, what do you think as a parent, if a parent has a daughter, what do you think the association can do? They have groups and toolkits, correct?
Right. You know, again, the parent toolkit is a great resource for a parent to just read through and to look at the information. And, you know, the most important thing that a parent can do for a child is to help them understand that who they are is that's beauty. You know, your self-esteem is the most beautiful thing that you have. It's your most precious commodity. And loving your children, your parents are never at fault for an eating disorder. Let's remember that this is these are really complex. There's complex causes. They're complex psychological, you know, medical disorders. And a parent would never cause that. But in terms of prevention, helping a son or a daughter know that they are valuable for who they are. You know, as Stephanie said, that strong ideal of knowing that you can do anything that you want to do when you set your mind to it, it's important to know that you as a person are valuable. And that's a big step that a parent can take in helping a child understand that they're loved, they're cherished. And, you know, high self-esteem is a great help in avoiding eating disorders.
I think, Stephanie, when you're talking about high self-esteem, in Stephanie's book, again, Not All Black Girls Know How to Eat, A Story of Bulimia, you talk about that you were really strong-willed, you felt very confident, you didn't seem shy. At what point, I'd like you to tell the story where you feel that you cracked and then you went into the bulimia in your life. What was the catalyst?
Well, I mean, I had an experience of sexual abuse when I was 12. And then this back and forth thing with my father, and then I had a boyfriend. It was the first time I ever opened up and let someone in, and that fell apart, and I fell apart. So it wasn't as much about him as it was about I thought I finally had this family, this safe place,
mm-hmm.
and I was very closely identified with that. And so I lost myself. I didn't know who I was. Like I thought, oh, okay, I'll be this. This will make me happy. And I kept it was a need for something external to fix all of the stuff inside that I was pushing down and not dealing with.
I think that's again the pushing down of trying to avoid things. I mean, it's just going to bubble to the surface. And Stephanie, in your book, you mentioned how a group of friends. Thank God for friends. Let's knock on wood for friends. Listen, if you're a friend and you're out there and you think that someone you know is battling with binging or, you know, bulimia, anorexia, or just battling with anything, it could be shame of sexual abuse. It could be, Black women do a lot of things, from our hair to our skin complexion. I mean, there are black women who are bleaching their skin. If you're a friend, though, please reach out to that person and let them know that you're there. I think that's a really important issue. Even going to domestic violence situations, people are feeling isolated, and if you as a friend can just stand by them and let them know you're there when they're ready to make that next step, it's so important. In Stephanie's book, a group of friends confronted her about her problem. It wasn't the end of her bulimia, but Stephanie, how did that make you feel when your friends confronted you? It was like a whole group of them, in the room.
I felt this tremendous shame, and like a caged rat. Like, I just wanted to get out of there. I didn't want the attention to come on to be about an eating disorder. And because they didn't have the information, they didn't know I had an eating disorder. They just knew that my life was out of control.
I mean, you were like, even when you, I think one of the points you mentioned in your book about going to help your sister and how you didn't think your nieces, I guess, knew, and somehow your niece told your sister and then she confronted you. You did so many things to try to hide, and you were so successful for a long time. One of the things I want to mention is that people do die from eating disorders. This is a very serious matter. Laura, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. In fact, anorexia nervosa is the most serious of all mental disorders and has the highest death rate. It's an incredibly serious disease. And, and let's remember, eating disorders really are not, they may start out as dieting, but they're not about dieting.
No.
As Stephanie mentioned, coping mechanisms. What do we do to hide the pain, to self-medicate? Many times an eating disorder is simply that. And that's why we need to help our friends, help our family members get help. Approaching someone with an eating disorder that you imagine may have an eating disorder or you think something is really going wrong in their life is to just simply tell them that, I see XYZ that's happening with you, and, do you want to talk about it? Can we get some help for you?
Well, I think that's important. And let's we have a couple minutes left. We have 2 minutes left of the program. I want to mention again your helpline, the National Eating Disorders Helpline, is 1-800-931-2237. Their website is nationaleatingdisorders.org. Again, that's nationaleatingdisorders.org. This coming week is National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. There are many programs going on around the country. You can go to their website to find out what's going on around the country or also let them know about what you're doing. One of the things they mentioned is talking to the media in your area and letting them know about the different public service announcements they can play. So please check out nationaleatingdisorders.org. The helpline, again, 1-800-931-2237. I want to mention Stephanie Covington Armstrong. Please check out her book, Not All Black Girls Know How to Eat, A Story of Bulimia, a wonderful, very honest and open story about her battle with bulimia and how she got help and what she went through. Again, Not All Black Girls Know How to Eat, A Story of Bulimia. I want to thank Stephanie and I want to thank Lori for coming on this morning. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Do you have any closing words, Stephanie, for young women are out there, African-American women who may be suffering with an eating disorder?
Absolutely. You have to share your pain with someone. This disease is so isolating, and you feel a lot of times we feel like it's our fault and we should be able to stop it and we should be able to control it, and it doesn't work that way. It's like having cancer. You got to go to a doctor.
You got to go to a doctor.
Out support.
Definitely.
Allow yourself to get support, because I don't know how anyone can recover on their own with this disease.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I want to thank both of you again for coming on the show and calling in. I want to thank all the listeners this morning for waking up. I know it's a little early. You might want to sleep late after a hard work week. You see, I had a hard work week. tune in on Saturdays, 11 a.m. Eastern. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up the show Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. March, we have some wonderful programs starting off with Judy Norsegan, the co-author of Our Bodies, Ourselves. And we'll be talking about women and gambling. That's on March 6th at 11 a.m. Eastern. Thank you so much, Judy and Lori, for coming on this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I just want to mention to the listeners, check in on Facebook. You can become a fan. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. And you can check out archive shows of wonderful guests I've had, poet Nikki Giovanni, jazz bassist Christian McBride, and many others. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Saturday.